Okay, so my name is Tim Jones and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square. It's the 14th of August 2009 and the time is 7:10 in the evening. Can you tell us what your name is, your age and where you come from?
Jeremy Wood, and I'm from Newcastle upon Tyne, and I have to think I'm 65.
When was it you first found out about the One Another Project?
I think it was back in February, and I can't remember exactly how I found out, but I think I must have seen it either in the press or possibly on the internet. I honestly can't remember. I came across it somewhere and I thought, that sounds really interesting. And straight away I was sort of drawn to it. I thought, that's a really interesting project to get involved with.
Well, what would you say is particularly interesting about it?
I think the main thing I liked about it was that it was very inclusive, because essentially, I've got a scientific background and worked in engineering for a long time, and I don't consider myself really to be artistic. And so I think the thought that somebody like myself, or just anybody actually, can be involved in an arts project is something to me that there's something quite nice about that, you know, that it's very, very inclusive. And I think that was what appealed to me really, and the fact really that you're free to do your own thing. And what I've noticed in, I have to say I'm addicted to watching it now online, but what I've noticed there is that there's a great variety, obviously, of what people do. And ultimately, some people just go there and read a book or admire the view and are just themselves. And one part of me is thinking, and I've heard people say, well, they're not doing anything, but another part of me is thinking, well, that's portraying English life, because sometimes you might be just sitting down reading a book or just observing what goes on or doing not particularly anything, but that is all part of British life. And I think that, to me again, is part of what the project's all about, of portraying what it means to be British.
And what was it you say that motivated you to put your name forward in the first instance?
I think initially it was just the fact that I could, and I just thought, that sounds like a lot of fun. And obviously at that time I had no idea what I was going to do. And I think my fallback position was always, well, I'll just go there and just watch and see what goes on, because it would be interesting in Trafalgar Square, there'd be plenty going on. But as I thought more about it, different ideas came into my head and it developed.
So what is it you're going to do when you're up on the pin?
So I had lots of ideas in my head, and What I decided to do in the end was to break it down into four sections, and of course four acts, so act one, act two, act three, act four. And act one is really an introduction. It gives me a chance to set up and introduce myself, where I'm from. I'll do my Angel of the North impression and just talk a little bit about Newcastle. I've got a nice apron to wear in Newcastle, another apron portraying our church. I come from Newcastle, a new community building we've just built. There's a nice picture of that, so I thought that would be nice for people to see and talk a little bit about that. Also, one of my favourite places is the Lake District. I've got a rather nice T-shirt of a camp we used to have over there, so I'll be stripping off, not completely, you'll be pleased to know, and displaying my nice yellow T-shirt from Keswick. So that's the first act. And then the second act, one of the things I thought a lot about is, and I think what was in my mind there was, I'm always saddened when I hear of wars in the world, and particularly in places like Afghanistan, we hear about young men, 18 or a couple of weeks or earlier, last week I think it was, there were two 22-year-olds killed, and their funerals were quite recent, and that's very sad really. And I'm very saddened every time I hear and see on the television that people have lost their lives, albeit fighting for the country. And I don't want this to sound at all political, but I'm just saddened that is happening, and again in Iraq. And actually, I was interested when I went on the internet that there's actually nine countries in ongoing war situations. And since 2003, either at war or in conflict, there have been 29 different countries, which is incredible, really. And that is a sad thing, because to me, I just ask myself, why can't we live at peace in the world? And I suppose as a Christian, I have a view on that. And I'm going to read a few readings out of the Bible, the words that Jesus spoke, and going back into the Psalms, there's a famous verse there about beating our swords into plowshares. And that's really what I'll be praying for. And I want to spend a little time praying for the countries at war, for the victims of war, and a little bit around that. So that's the second act. And then the third act is, I've entitled it, The World. And my wife and I have a lot to do with people from all over the world. We teach English as a second language at our church. And one of the extraordinary things to me in recent years is how many people come to Newcastle, and probably in common with other cities, from all over the world. And we have a map of the world in our church, and we put a little blip on, a little dot on when every country that people come from. And I think at the last count, it's well over 30 different countries around the world of people who'd come to that we met. And not infrequently, people give me shirts from different countries. So I'm going to put on a number of these shirts. I've got a shirt from Malaysia, there's one from Ukraine, there's a very nice one from China, there's one my son brought back recently from India. So I was going to just display that. And I'm also going to, I've got a rather nice inflatable globe of the world that I'm hoping to blow up and put on display. So that's The World as the third act. And the fourth one I've just called The Finale, if you want to have a better title. And hopefully by that time it will be getting dark, it will be gone 8:30. And I'll be doing, first of all, I'll be inviting people to text in or phone from, hopefully from other countries, or it might be just from this country, just want to chat. I'd really like it if people could text me and see how far afield we can get a text from. So we'll see how that works out. And also, I've got some little flashing lights that I want to put on the plinth that hopefully won't be masked too much by the floodlights. I'm not sure how well that will work, but we'll try that. And I've got a superb little gun that's not dangerous, but it fires out little foam glowing rings into the crowd, and there'll be little messages on those to do with the theme of peace, peace and love in the world. And also I've got some fair trade chocolates, because I think it's important to be supporting fair trade. And so a little plug for the co-op, I'll be throwing some of their peppermint cream chocolates down for the crowd to enjoy. And then just that's really, I think by about then, by the time I've had maybe a few chats over the phone and a few texts in, that will probably be my hour up.
And who would you say you're doing this for?
I wouldn't say I'm doing it for anybody in particular. I think, though, coming back to what I was saying originally, that I think it's important that all areas of society, if you like, and all people in the country represented, I thought, well, it's good to have some Christian input, because I know I'm not the only one. I've seen others. I know there was a Roman Catholic priest on the other day, and I'm sure there have been others, but I think it's important to represent that as part of the overall culture and the overall situation, structure of our society in Britain today.
And how can you describe the emotional journey from finding out originally the email that said you'd been allocated
right.
a slot to kind of how you're feeling now?
Right. I think, obviously, when I first thought about it, I first applied it, this is great, exciting, wonderful. And then the reality sort of hits you a little bit when you get the email saying, because actually the first email I got, I said I hadn't been selected for July. And I sort of thought, okay, fair enough. And didn't really think any more about it. And then I got an email a few weeks later saying I had been selected, allocated a place in August. And that, my first thought, I suppose, was quite exciting. I thought that exciting. And I think I was given 3 days to accept a reply, and I wanted to think about it. And I told my wife, and she said, well, just click accept. So I thought, well, I guess so, because what's the point in applying if you're not going to accept? So I accepted. And then I guess then it was sort of, well, what do I do? And as I say, went through various thoughts on that to get me to where I've ended up. And I think in a sense, the difficulty is I had lots of ideas buzzing around in my head, and it was really refining those ideas and deciding what was realistic to do and what I couldn't do and what's the best things to be able to do.
You mentioned you're an engineer. What do you do kind of within
I used to work as an engineer in the nuclear power industry for many years, and also the the gas industry. So most of my working life was spent there until about 10 years ago when the company I was working with, British Gas, actually were relocating, and although I was offered a job elsewhere for various reasons, we wanted to stay in Castle. So at that time I took voluntary redundancy, which was the best thing I've ever done because it was scary, but at the time I thought, well, I'll do it. And I started moving into completely different work. I worked for a community project in Newcastle, in one of the sort of deprived areas of Newcastle, and I loved it. And actually, I'm still working in that area now. I teach IT there. And I've just recently, I mean, one of the interesting things is how I've been able to use my engineering and scientific background. At the moment, I'm involved in a project in Newcastle teaching science to families, and we do little workshops where we do little scientific experiments and that sort of thing, teaching families. The kids aren't allowed to come unless they have a parent or a guardian or a grandparent or somebody with them. And yesterday I was with a small group in a library in Newcastle, and we had a wonderful time playing around with magnets and looking at the principles of magnetism and magnetic fields, and very, very exciting. I love doing that. And then, as I was saying before, my wife and I teach English to people from other countries, which we love doing. We do that every week at our church. And again, I love it because we meet such interesting people, and through that we've been able to, we took a trip to China a few years ago to visit a lot of our ex-students. That was very exciting. And really, I would say the last 10 years of my life since I left engineering have been far more exciting, but it's interesting how, in a sense, it's come back full circle, because I'm using my scientific experience and knowledge in a community environment, which, again, I really enjoy.
And can you tell us a bit more about your faith as well, for the record?
Yeah.
How does that kind of slot in with everything?
Right. I've been a Christian a long time and quite involved with our local church in Newcastle. And, one of the most exciting things that's happening in churches today is that not many years ago, the churches were very insular and kept themselves to themselves, and you didn't get that many people coming in. And if strangers came in, it was almost, they almost stood out. Whereas now we see lots of people coming in, and we have lots more involvement with the community, which a few years ago would be frowned on as being slightly secular. But even though we do teaching English, there's no strings attached. You don't have to come to church, you don't have to profess faith. We have Muslims coming, we have people from other faiths. It can be of any faith or no faith. And I think, to me, that's been quite exciting, just to see how we can be involved, and we're always looking at new ways of getting involved with the community. And for the last, how many years? 5 or 6 years now, I've been involved in building a new community building in our church. We completely demolished the old church halls. We built a new, very user-friendly building that we hopefully will be able to use with the community. So again, it's like extending this link with the community and not becoming insular. And I think it's good that people don't get this impression that the church is just for themselves, but it's for everybody. And again, inclusivity, and hopefully we can share our faith, but not in a sort of, I never like sort of doing it in a sort of very preachy way. I think it's a lot better, comes across a lot better in a way where we're just being genuine in forming friendships with people and helping people, getting alongside people. And we work a lot with asylum seekers, many of whom have lost their right to stay in the country, and we've been involved in stopping deportations I love that sort of work as well, because it's very, very rewarding. So really, a lot of that is sort of the outcome of my faith. I think faith isn't real unless it's expressed in some sort of action.
And what does your faith mean to you, if I could,
Faith to me, I think, means hopefully developing a relationship with God. And two of the main things, and these are two things I'll be doing on the plinth later, is reading the Bible and praying, which are two of the mainstays of the Christian faith. And confess, like a lot of Christians, I don't do as much of that as I should do, and it's all too easy to get that crowded out by other things. But I do think they're important, and obviously going to church forms a part of that as well, where you meet with other people and learn from other people, learn together, and share on the really what you can describe as a journey of faith.
And can you describe what it feels like to be part of the One Another project?
Yeah, I think it's been great. I mean, one of the things I've been very impressed with is just the professionalism and the way everybody's so helpful, and it's been really good. I mean, not just today, but the phone calls I've had and just emails and just keeping me in the picture, and been really good. And I've been watching the plinth on the internet, and every time I walk past my computer now, I have to have a quick look to see what's going on. And I just think, yeah, it's a I've been very impressed really with the whole sort of setup, and it's nice to be part of something where you actually feel you've got good backup. You don't feel as if you're on your own. You know, if I was just sort of going to climb up onto the plinth myself and stand up there and do something, I would never do it. But I think you feel you've got the support and backup of a professional team around you, then it makes all the difference.
And what impact would you like you on the plinth and the project itself to have?
I think, I guess two things. I mean, one is a little plug for Newcastle, but because I think people in the south particularly think London's the centre of everything, and it's good to show them that we have our own Millennium Bridge, which is probably better than the Millennium Bridge in London. But on a more serious issue, I think hopefully it will get people thinking a little bit about the issues of peace, how that, whether it's peace in a national sense of peace rather than war, or whether it's in a sense of peace and a sort of relational issue of a relationship with God to bring peace. And so I'd like people to think a little bit about that, and possibly to get them thinking also about the issues of fair trade as well, although that will be not a big part of my appearance, but that will be mentioned as well. So I think those are the main things I would like people to set people thinking about.
And what would you say your hopes and fears are?
In terms of going on the plinth?
Yeah.
And
in general as well, maybe?
In general? I guess in going on the plinth, it's just that I'll get the right, remember what to do at the right time, because it's fairly well sort of planned out, and that could go wrong, but there again, hopefully it won't. I think if we're looking further afield in terms of fears, I think big issues now in society around global warming, and around the most recent one of will we have enough food in 10 years time, 20 years time. I think there are lots of world issues now that, and when I think I've got a granddaughter of 4, and I think, you know, what will her future be like in when she's my age, or when she's even in her 20s, 30s. And I think that's one thing that, does concern me at times. And and it's not always easy to see the answer to those problems. And again, it comes down to, I suppose, practical involvement. I know quite a lot of people in our church are campaign for things like that, for buying fair trade to help those in other countries who previously have been exploited, and to control our energy usage in terms of defeating or helping to stop the global warming and issues like around that.
And then what things would you say are most important to you at the moment?
That's a very good question. I guess my faith is always important in terms of developing that. And as I said before, sometimes I feel that I'm not really perhaps... I suppose that I'm not giving it as much priority as I should, because it's all too easy to get wrapped up in loads of other things. I find at the minute I'm involved in lots of things, and sometimes it's difficult to focus on the important things. I remember somebody I used to work for, he once said, it's very easy to be busy, but it's not always easy to be busy doing the right things. And I think that's very true. But you can be busy doing this, that and the other, but you know, what are the important things? And I think that's a good question, something I'll keep coming back to.
So how would you sum up kind of how you're feeling and you being part of this project before you go up onto the plinth half an hour?
I guess there's an amount of apprehension, but excitement as well, and I just hope that it will mean something to somebody, even if it speaks to one person and gets them thinking about some of the issues. I think that would be good. But equally, I don't really want to be seen as just standing up and preaching to people. I want to, and that's why I've tried to involve lots of things, but want it to come across as a whole, as an integrated package, if you like. And hopefully people will see that, you know, you can have fun as well. You don't have to be all sort of preaching doom and gloom. It can be quite a sort of happy experience being a Christian, and we can have fun as much as the next person, perhaps more.
Great, thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome.